2 years of administrative leave seems like a long time, is it?
Yeah, that is a long time. And what we don't know is why. That's the big question mark that's not being answered by the agency at this point. You know, certainly administrative leave is a legitimate tool to get somebody out of the workplace who may be disruptive if there's an investigation going on or for some other reason. There are also situations where the Merit Systems Protection Board has reinstated an employee, but the agency is appealing that decision. So sometimes people are kept out of the workplace on administrative leave while that's pending. But, you know, that we don't know what the circumstances here for why Mr. Whitmore's been kept out so long.
And especially for the Labor Department to have a case like this, it looks even worse because you'd think they would be the model for handling labor disputes.
Well, yeah, I mean, you would think that any agency would be able to be more efficient, but I think you're right. I mean, it certainly doesn't speak well of their procedures here, that they not only have done this, but they don't even seem to have any regs that would even, you know, deal with time limits on administrative leave.
All right, so what's the process by which one is placed on administrative leave? Do they need to have some sort of demonstration of misbehavior over a period of time, or what's the process that has to be in place in order to get a person put on administrative leave?
Well, it's pretty much up to the agency's discretion in a situation like this where no discipline's been taken yet. If an agency feels that somebody's been disruptive or, you know, if there's serious misconduct like a crime and the person, there's a concern about the person remaining in the workplace, really all the agency has to do is notify the employee by in writing, you know, usually in a letter, that the person is being placed on administrative leave and is being told not to report back to the agency. And then they're going to put some things in place to keep the person from coming onto the premises, like, you know, telling the guards that this person's not to be admitted so that the person can't come in, you know, in a back door or something like that. But that's basically it. There really isn't anything else that needs to be done except notify the employee. And, of course, the employee has to remain, you know, somewhere where the agency can find him or her because, theoretically at least, they can be recalled to duty at any time. So they are still, you know, subject to that. If they want to take annual leave or something like that, they're supposed to call in and request it, although I imagine somebody who's on paid leave like that generally doesn't do that.
Well, I wonder if they were a little bit, I don't know, frightened of him, because in the Washington Post, they report the encounter in question with the supervisor. They claim that Mr. Whitmore was shouting so loudly and vociferously at the supervisor, Joe Dubois, that it said it got heated to the point that Whitmore was yelling so uncontrollably that you showered him with your saliva. And Mr. Whitmore is claiming actually just the opposite happened, and he's kept an unlaundered shirt as evidence to prove that he was the one showered on.
That's an interesting twist in this story, certainly. But, I mean, that would certainly be a reason to keep him out of the workplace. If he has a history, and this is one of the things that's been said, that he has a history of kind of disruptive and unstable behavior, that or intimidating behavior, I think is the word that was used, and that people in the office were actually afraid of him. And then he also had this encounter with his supervisor, which became quite heated. And, you know, obviously, as usual, they're differing events, but that'll all be sorted out, you know, during the response, the written reply, to the disciplinary action.
You know, though, if it's true that he has a $150,000 a year salary, it sounds like he's an SESer.
Yeah, that sounds right. And, you know, but even SESers aren't immune from disciplinary rules if they are commit misconduct. And, you know, if in fact he is intimidating people, frightening people, engaging in inappropriate conduct, and you know, saying things that are inappropriate in an inappropriate tone to the supervisor, then, you know, he can be put out of the workplace and he can be disciplined just like anyone else. Again, though, I think that one has to wonder why it's taken so long, especially since he has such a large salary and must occupy a position of authority and importance to the agency, why he's been out so long. That sort of begs the question, and hopefully we'll get some answers to that at some point.
And so what happens now, Diana? First of all, we're talking with Diana Vayu, partner in the law firm Shaw, Bransford, Vayu and Roth, one of the co-hosts of Fed Talk that airs Friday mornings at 11 on Federal News Radio. So what happens now? Once this firing takes place, what are Mr. Whitmore's options at that point?
Well, of course, the first thing that's happened now is a process of due process, if you will. And as been reported in the Post, he's finally gotten a notice of proposed removal, which sets forth the specific charges that the agency's making against him and why they have chosen to propose his removal. He has a chance to come back and respond to that proposal by putting forth his own evidence and testimony, you know, in writing, and also go in and do what they call an oral reply, which is like a presentation to the deciding official to explain why it is that the charges can't be supported and why it is that, you know, the penalty of removal is too severe. And, of course, at that point, he can counter whatever's in this investigation that was done by a contractor that the agent, that's been reported as the basis for the action. If the agency actually does fire him, he would have appeal rights to the Merit Systems Protection Board, which would be reviewing whether or not the agency has, in fact, enough evidence to support removal and whether or not that penalty is the proper one based on the charges that have been proven by the agency. So there's a lot of process left to be had here, and I'm sure that, you know, as things unfold, we'll be learning more about what exactly happened here and why he's been on administrative leave so long.
Well, it sounds like it may not be all that cut and dried, really,
right,
because there's,
right,
you know, there's disputed accounts of what went on, and, you know, was someone, you know, someone can be fearsome to one person and just merely irascible to the other person, so maybe it's a little finer gray situation than it appears.
Right. Well, there's also this issue of whether he's a whistleblower. You know, that's been reported that he has made some allegations about OSHA not keeping up proper records on workplace injuries, allowing employers to underreport. A lot of the things he said in public have been since he's been on administrative leave. But, you know, he might have been saying things to supervisors or other people, and, you know, that's something he's certainly going to raise, I think, as a motivating factor of why he's being removed instead of, you know, misconduct on his part. So that'll probably be another twist to the story.
Okay, most important question during this whole process of appeal and review, does he still get paid?
Oh, yes. He gets paid up until the point that an agency official decides on the proposal. So, you know, this process that's starting now, you know, when he gets the notice of proposed removal and his opportunity to respond to it, at that point, a government official will make a decision about whether he should be retained or not. If he's fired based on that, then he will be off the rolls and unemployed while he goes to the Merit Systems Protection Board to challenge his removal. But, of course, they could impose a lesser penalty, in which case, you know, he might go back to work with a substantial suspension or something of that kind.
Man, oh, man. No wonder they say nobody ever loses a government job. See how tough? I mean, when you see how tough it is. And is this the process that every single federal employee, in theory, would go through if they were contesting a charge against them by their agency?
Well, no, most people are not placed on administrative leave at all, much less for such a long period.
Right.
And that's what makes it unusual. You know, certainly, I mean, most of the time, I know, to be fair, most agencies that put people on administrative leave pending an action like this have a legitimate reason, like they are conducting an investigation to find out what happened, which is, you know, in the best interest of the employee, too, because they're making an effort to discern, you know, what happened before they take an action. Or they're taking somebody out of the workplace who is a danger, somebody who has fiduciary responsibilities, for example, who may be, you know, in charge of money, and therefore they don't trust the person. So there's a reason to put them out. But the unusual thing here is that the person's been out for so long. And that's unusual for someone to be out for really no reason that we can understand for almost 2 years. That's a really long time to be on administrative leave.